Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The Supreme Court issues an emergency order that keeps COVID-era restrictions on immigration in place along the southern border. CBS's Skylar Henry with more.
In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court mandated the Biden administration cannot end Title 42, the Trump-era policy that limits entry into the United States because of COVID. More than a dozen Republican governors had sued to keep the policy in place, arguing lifting it would lead to an even greater number of migrants crossing the border.
Water problems across the Mid and Deep South after a deep freeze. Jackson, Mississippi's Mayor Shokwe Antar Lumumba has declared a local emergency after the water system failed to produce adequate pressure because of broken and leaking pipes.
We're calling on residents to call in if you see a leak, if you see a break, large leaks, that are usually on main thoroughfares. Please let our crews know so that those repairs can be made.
Southwest Airlines CEO says he's optimistic the airline will be back on track before next week after the airline had to cancel thousands of flights in the last 48 hours due to the recent storm. WGME-TV Dan Lamparello in Portland, Maine's International Jetport.
Passengers in Portland were left with few options, with one woman choosing to drive instead of rebooking.
What did they try to charge for another airline out of here?
$2,000. That takes your breath away.
The U.S. Department of Transportation says it will be looking into Southwest's handling of the situation, something those left stranded hope will get some results.
The man convicted of leading a plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has been sentenced to 16 years in prison. Adam Fox was also sentenced for attempts to use a weapon of mass destruction. U.S. Attorney Andrew Burge.
Responding to domestic terrorism plots has been a priority for the Department of Justice since its founding. We're going to continue to spare no expense to make sure we disrupt plots like these and bring those responsible and hold them accountable to the law.
The political saga of newly elected Congressman George Santos is far from over. The New York Republican hasn't even been sworn into office yet, and there are calls for him to resign after he confessed to lying about his education, work, history, and his family. More from CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Another Republican congressman from New York that's coming to Congress next term has called for an ethics investigation into his future colleague. But Republicans here in leadership on Capitol Hill remain silent. As for Santos, he vows to fill his full term.
Germany's governing coalition argues over COVID restrictions. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Last name, saving juniors' lives, it goes. Nerds. We got pushed at the front of the class, but now we're running banks, pushing fast stacks to cash, it goes. Nerds. Ears burning, but we never let it catch fire. Stayed calm, built a .com empire. Nerds. So keep your pride with your face.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour, or maybe it's not your lunch hour because maybe you're not working and you don't know what day it is. But either way, we are here. We are live. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789 and would love your opinions and thoughts as we go through these top 15 findings of 2022 from Pew Research Center.
The research nerds.
The research nerds. Whenever I say Pew Research Center, all I want to go is pew, 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 pew.
And I think of guns. I think of Pepe Le Pew.
There you go. Yeah. You know, word association. But if you're not, are you familiar with Pew Research Center?
I know that they've been around forever, haven't they?
So it's a nonpartisan fact tank. Not think tank, fact tank.
Fact tank.
That informs the public about issues, attitudes, trends, shaping the world. So they mostly conduct public opinion polling, but I don't necessarily know if they do like as many like campaign polls, you know, how we always think about Marquette law school polling. Cause this is, as you'll see, this is less about it. It has some politics and partisan leaning stuff, but they research everything. They do demographic research, content analysis, and just a ton of data driven social science research. And so they don't take policy positions. So they're not
left-leaning,
they're not right-leaning.
Right.
They take it from take the analysis from the polling that they do. And so, you know, some of the biggest events of 2022, they did public opinion polling on, and it shed light on what the public opinion was. And so, you know, for everything from Russia's military invasion, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, people's experience with weather and how that affects their opinion on whether or not climate change is real. But I thought it'd be fun to spend this hour going through some of these findings. And I my first read through these, some were surprising, some were not. But, you know, my nerd brain, it's always fun to have numbers behind things to actually be like, is this true? Is this what the numbers actually reflect? Or is this just what I think? And so, the first one, Jane, how often do you carry cash with you?
Lately, I have had a couple bucks on me.
Okay.
That's kind of unusual.
Is it?
Yeah. Because as old as I am, everything's on cards now.
I know.
Everything's on cards. So it feels weird to pay with cash and then to have change.
Yeah. I almost never have cash, mostly because I always think I'm going to lose it. Even this, my grandmother for Christmas, I got cash from her, and I think I left it at my parents' house.
Oh, girl.
But I'm not alone. So roughly 4 in 10, so about 41% of Americans say none of their purchases in a typical week are paid for using cash. And so this is a growing, but that's still lower than I expected because there's a push. More and more places are cashless, right? I think, is Lambo cashless now?
It might be, but then My husband and I went out to dinner last month, and it was cash only.
See, that's so... Does that surprise you? That
yes.
Still cash-only places?
Yes. Thank God they had an ATM in there that charged probably $5 to get money out. But to come into a place that's cash-only in this day and age, I found really surprising.
I wonder what there's more of now. More cashless venues, restaurants, bars, or more places that are still cash-only?
No, I think it's more cashless.
It also probably depends on what part, if you're in a city versus a more rural area.
Sure.
And kind of where the, because this is, says, while the growing shares of Americans across income groups are relying less and less on cash, this is especially the case among the highest earners. So roughly 6 in 10 adults whose annual household income is over $100,000 say they, none of their purchases during the week are cash.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
It is interesting because I would think for some of those people, you want to be able to pull out a big wad of cash and you can still impress people.
Make it rain.
Yes. And I do like to have cash for tips. I prefer that even though you can just write it in on the slip. It's still, I just still think it's nice for the servers to get cash.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably good to always have 10 bucks and ones.
10, 20
like
bucks,
that,
you know,
to either give someone on the side of the road or tip or something like that. All right. Next one. This, I think, is very interesting. It's also non-conclusive. It's kind of suggesting this could happen versus the hard and fast data. But if recent trends continue, Christians could make up a minority of Americans by 2070.
Wow.
Which I actually think is, because what did they say, that white people most likely will be in
minority
by 2050?
50, I think.
So this is a longer timeline. But this comes out of different modeling that's based on what they call religion switching. So basically, since the 1990s, which I think we all probably can recognize is true, large numbers of Americans have left Christianity. And so they've joined, and it's not necessarily that they're transitioning to Judaism or Hinduism. It's that they're basically identifying as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. So it's more people who are just kind of like leaving traditional religion
behind.
In total. And so this report that they produced was basically, depending on the continued rate of religious switching, there's a range of which by 2070 that there could be enough people that leave the Christian church altogether, that they're, for the first time ever in this country, a minority of the population. And so it's somewhere by 2070. So the projections show that Christians of all ages shrinking from 64% to somewhere between 54 and 35% by 2070. And then over that same period, people who have no religious affiliation would rise from their current 30% of the population to somewhere between 34 and 52.
Okay. And now I have no basis for this.
Okay.
But I think these kinds of numbers, other people look at, and other people look at these same sets of things. I think that this is why there is an increasing push for vouchers for religious schools. I believe that there is a very concentrated group of Americans who would love to see public education die and transition into all religious schools.
See, I understand the desire to have public school die is so that school can be privatized and
make
money. But you think there's a religious aspect to it?
I do.
Interesting.
I mean, when you look at some of the political groups, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, these Christian nationalists, and that's a growing segment and a pretty loud segment. I think
Oath Keepers inherently religious? Is that part of their tenets?
I think all of those groups kind of cloak themselves as Christians, yes.
Interesting. Well, I feel like any of these could probably be their own segment. But we got to keep marching along
because
we're already on two, and we still have 15 in total to get through the
only hour. 15 will be fine.
This one I don't find surprising at all, but views on reparations for slavery vary widely by race and ethnicity, especially between Black and white Americans. I think that is kind of a duh.
That's not very shocking.
Not, I don't know why that would be included in one of their most striking findings. But for all U.S. adults, 68% say no, that we should not do reparations. 30% say yes. But when it is just white people, 80% say no and 18% say yes. And it's basically flipped for the black community, where 17% say no and 77% say yes.
Yeah.
And I think notably, but not surprisingly, this also is very different depending on political affiliation. So 90, even more than just white people, 91% of Republicans say no and 8% say yes. But even with Democrats, it's like basically a 50-50. So of Democrats or leaning Democrat, 49% say no and 48% say yes. So it feels like we're probably far off from that actually ever happening. But people have opinions on it.
They certainly do.
All right. We'll squeeze one more in before the break. Coming back, as long as we have it, people are going to use it. A growing share of adult TikTok users in the U.S. are getting their news from TikTok, which is different, that's breaking a trend from the other social media, like other social media sites.
So are these just anybody's doing news videos and putting them on TikTok, or are these actual newscasters or news outlets?
Both. So my favorite, who I kind of would emulate as I try, one of my big 2023 goals is to get back into obviously doing this show every day, which is very long form, but then getting back into TikTok, Reels, YouTube, that is also Wisconsin headlines and stories, and probably trying to get back into delivering it in my style with a little humor, summing it up, linking to the article, since it's not, for me, it wouldn't be firsthand reporting. But the person I think is one of the best at this is, it's called Under the Desk News.
I have seen that.
They're great. And now they work with LA Times. They still have their own channel. And they do some of their own firsthand reporting. But there is different people. I forgot what his name is. There's one guy who does gay news and breaks down stories that are exactly what it sounds like. And so there are some entities. Obviously, Washington Post was kind of the first major, very serious news site. And they really leaned into, for their strategy, to do goofy videos that took stories of the day and made them in like very much as TikToks versus I think Yahoo News just streams live current events. And so there's different approaches to it.
And so different models.
So there's certain people, there's some people who are just journalists who are doing it. There's some news organizations that are doing it. And then there's just kind of the average person. Like I wasn't a journalist, but there's a skill set in being able to sum up the news in a different palatable way.
Absolutely.
That I think is being delivered on TikTok. But what I thought was interesting is that more and more people aren't getting their news from Facebook. So, for example, the share of adult Facebook users who regularly get news there has declined from 54% in 2020 to 44% this year.
Wow.
And so I still think probably like Twitter is up there as far as people. But that declined, too. Twitter in 2 years declined from 59% to 53%. Facebook, 44%. Reddit lowered. YouTube stayed about the same. Instagram slightly above. And Snapchat, LinkedIn, they're kind of all. But TikTok, from 22% in 2020 to 33% in 2022. So we'll see if it sticks around. All right, we got more findings when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You think great text can have great sex? We study Wikipedia pages and type in latex. Kept you blind undercover like a peregrine. Sly enough to leave you Hufflepuffing when we see the rim. I never got to be fly as a kid, but my vocabulary gave me six rhymes to spit. See, I studied science, grew up to be a rhyme sayer.
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
Trudy, so
they're right. Still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 20. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 20 miles an hour. 38 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 34. Temps a bit above average Thursday and Friday with highs from the upper 30s to the mid 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You look so perplexed.
I'm so interested in what song this song this is.
It's called If Tears Were Diamonds.
Who sings it? I like the intro.
Little classic blues.
Yeah, it was like very...
moody.
Kind of, yeah, very moody.
Moody.
Welcome back.
To a moody Esko's, Wisconsin.
To a moody Esko's, Wisconsin. We're in the mood of wrapping up 2022. I don't know about you, but my inbox is just full of the best of. And it goes back to our ongoing theme of who's working today and who is not working today. Because I feel like all of the different podcasts I listen to... And granted, they deserve a day off because some of these are daily podcasts,
right,
including The Daily. But even Ezra Klein's podcast, Bulwark, a bunch of different things that I regularly listen. I was at the gym for the first time in a while yesterday, and I was almost all of them were all playing replays as far as like their best of for the year. The newsletters I subscribe to kind of get my roundup of news, they're doing their... Morning Brew's doing like their golden mug awards of best stories or best trend or whatever. And so a lot of news organizations, I think, are taking this week off, which is well deserved because news is hard.
And it never stops.
And so it was interesting of how much there is best ofs for this year. And some of those we will be bringing to you because we are still here live tomorrow and Thursday. And today, at least this hour, we're going through Pew Research Center's most striking findings of 2022. And so if you're unfamiliar with Pew Research Center, it is a nonpartisan fact tank that informs the public about issues, attitudes, trends that are shaping our world. And it's a lot of research and demographic analysis based on public opinion polling. And so it's a lot of numbers. We will certainly put this article in today's podcast notes, which you can always find on asgoeswisconsin.com, because it's fun to dive into, especially if you like data.
If you like numbers.
But the next finding, you know, if only this could have happened 10 years ago. But most Americans who have experienced extreme weather in the past year, regardless of political party, are finally seeing climate change as a factor to that extreme weather.
That's remarkable.
Overall, 71% of Americans said that in the past 12 months, their community had experienced at least one of the five forms of extreme weather. And among those who had experienced extreme weather, more than 8 in 10, so 80%, said climate change contributed to at least a little to the event itself.
Well, if you live long enough, you realize this isn't normal.
No.
This is not normal. And the storm system that we just had, is not normal. And now we're going to have rain on Thursday, and it's going to be 50 degrees. Also,
not normal.
Not normal. I was watching a series last night on Netflix about tornadoes and hurricanes and other natural disasters. And we have heard this from some about how climate change is causing, there have been volcanic eruptions in parts of the world that haven't seen them for decades, and people have to flee. So this is part of our migrant crisis and our refugee crisis. They're fleeing from weather-related events.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which are going to continue to worsen.
And not that there isn't a lot of, I'm still very bullish on humans, on solutions and things that people are trying to do to change this. I think, you know, we still haven't really done a deep dive on this, but the fusion breakthrough of energy, so like a cheap, clean energy source. Like there is, what did my brother talk about? Space solar.
And nuclear.
Yeah. And so there's stuff happening and people are trying to solve this, but it does feel like a milestone as far as finally people admitting that this is what's happening. And it's not just
made
weather.
Up. It's not just made up.
All right. Number six, Americans became much more likely to see Russia as the enemy of the United States following Russia's military invasion of Ukraine.
Not everybody,
but it went from before. So like beginning of 2022 to after the invasion, went from 41 to 70%. It's a pretty big jump.
I question that number. I would like to believe that number. I question that number just because when I think of a particular broadcaster and a particular network who has millions of viewers and he loves Vladimir Putin.
Well, I'm just, I, this is,
I know you're just,
numbers,
you're just relaying the information,
but, maybe it went from people not really thinking about Russia at all to thinking about a lot more. It would be interesting. Similarly to what I think we talked about this last week with Mike Gallagher, Congressman Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, kind of making the rounds on him thinking that we are in a cold war with China.
Right.
And I mean, I know it's interesting after having just spent the weekend with my brother, who pays much more attention to geopolitics and international politics and the way it affects markets versus I pay way more attention to Wisconsin and national politics.
Sure.
It's hard to do both. He admitted that. But he would say, you know, conversations around Russia, China, and how much he agrees on that as far as these things are real and the consolidation of those powers versus the West and a lot happening. So I don't think that is going to be over. The cut talks of who are enemies, quote unquote, if that's what you want to call them, being Russia and China, I think that will continue into next year.
Well, an interesting sidebar, because I know we got to go to break, but there are two Russian oligarchs who just died in the last couple of days. And another one fell out a window. This is a really bad recurring accident for Russian oligarchs when they're out of the country.
Between being pushed out of windows or
poisoned. Yeah. First floor only, dudes. Careful.
Those poor Russians just, you know, real susceptible to poisoning.
And window falling. It's odd.
All right. So we had to start getting through this a little bit faster. We still have eight different findings from Pew Research Center that they found this year that, do you think they're striking? Some of them I find very striking. Some of them seem obvious, but we're going to keep powering through them when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If tears were diamonds.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief, a blow from the U.S. Supreme Court to the administration's plan to lift a pandemic-era restriction on asylum seekers. CBS's Skyler Henry.
The order handed down by Chief Justice John Roberts mandates the Biden administration continue to enforce Title 42 for now.
The court will hear arguments in the case in February. Pascagoula, Mississippi is among many southern cities and towns under a boil water notice after pressure dropped because of broken pipes. City Manager Michael Silverman.
There were some breaks in different areas, and that contributed to the water table going down quite low.
Southwest Airlines is still canceling flights, leaving hundreds of thousands of passengers stranded.
We waited in that line for probably 90 minutes, and by the time we got up there, the person we spoke with was very unhelpful, and she just was like, yeah, sorry, there's nothing getting out of here until the 31st, and we were like, well, we're flying home on the 31st, so that doesn't do us any good.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You don't
know my kind of— hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on. In a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network, no matter where you're listening. On a transistor radio, streaming on the app, listening to Alexa, listening to a podcast later. Thank you for tuning in. If you do miss any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can find it on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is also where you can always find more of the resources of the different articles that we're referencing and talking about if you want to dive deeper. And you can also find us on anywhere you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. And you can always join in the fun by calling or texting 844-967-2789. We are spending this Tuesday between Christmas and New Year's fog, doing some roundups from 2022. And this hour, we're talking about Pew Research Center's most striking findings of 2022. Do we agree that they're striking? Do we agree that they're obvious? That's what we're talking about. So we're on to, because you knew it was going to come up, abortion. And I don't find this striking because I feel like almost everything, there was a lot of reporting on Schmishmortion this year. And what they found is basically relatively few Americans have an absolutist view on the legality of abortion.
So fewer Americans are like, it has to be legal in all cases. It must be illegal in all cases.
Yes. Okay. So the stark minority of people think it's illegal. Illegal in all cases, that's like 2%. Legal in all cases, no exception, is 19%. And most of us fall somewhere in between. So 36% is legal in most cases. 27% is illegal in most cases. But in general, very few people are all in or all out on a very private health-related decision. And that doesn't surprise me at all. Because I think that's what most findings have been, is that it's a gray area that you can have strong opinions about it until it happens to you. And then I heard in all of the reporting that happened this year, there was a saying that was something that was like, abortion's illegal in all cases except for rape, incest, and when it happens to me.
I don't think that's far off.
Yeah.
And every pregnancy is different.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Moving along. Similarly, but different. Following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, the partisan gap in views of the court grew wider than at any point in the last 30 years.
Well done, Supremes. Way to go. Woo.
And so, again, is that striking? I don't think so. But yes, as you can probably imagine, in this last year and the decisions that came down, I don't think it was just Roe v. Wade, because there was a lot of activist rulings that came down over the summer. There was a much bigger divide between Republicans and how they viewed the court versus how Democrats viewed the court. And again, I don't know. Yep. I wonder what the criteria was to be a striking finding.
That sounds so subjective. It could be anything.
Because I feel like this one seems obvious. I mean, it's like, this was the biggest stories of the year versus the most surprising findings of the year? Because I don't find this surprising. If you're paying attention to the news, I don't find that one surprising at all.
But, you know, for a lot of people, I think the court has been... they're fine, you know, and they do their Supreme Court things. And I think some of these latest decisions, though, were just so glaring that's probably what made it jump out.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that one. So
okay.
Moving on. This one I feel like it could be a whole conversation because it's been talked about a ton. It's obviously very taboo and controversial in some circles, although it shouldn't be, but about 5% of Americans who are younger than 30 identify as either transgender or non-binary, which is a big jump from generations who are older than them. So for 30 to 49-year-olds, it's about 1.6%. If you're over 50, it's 0.3%. But 5% for under 30... I would say that's a significant jump from where it's been. Even my generation, when we were under 30, I'm sure your generation when they were under 30. But I just think that is a different, and I've heard different conversations about this. And as far as is this jump in people identifying as that, is it because there's now a world where it's more open-minded than it's been? Granted, there are still a lot of issues, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, with certain politicians and conservative groups targeting you know, having policies and bills that are targeting trans youth as far as not letting them play sports and not
getting health care.
Yeah, and not allowing gender affirming care and all of this different stuff. But the fact that there is still an environment that's been created where more people feel like they can choose how they identify at all and, you know, answer surveys talking about that. Is that because there's been a culture shift as far as what is it, would that be a percentage that was always there? It just wasn't as comfortable for people to be able to come out. Or is it also a change in the rhetoric around how we talk about gender? But it's certainly a shift because that was certainly not the case, I think, when I was even – I mean, I certainly don't think it was the case when I was in high school or college.
I agree with you. I do think that that is a big shift. But I wonder now with the attack on Club Q that was just, what, 2 months ago, whether or not – that is going to continue and continue to grow. There is so much rhetoric aimed at that particular, the LGBTQ community in particular. I wonder if there isn't going to be more hesitancy for people to identify with that if we can continue to see some of this violent rhetoric and some of these violent actions.
Well, you know, it goes back to what I was thinking, because there's more and more people who also know someone, because it's a small percentage of the population, right?
Right.
It's a very small percentage of the population. But the population of someone who, of people who know someone who identifies that way is growing. So
right.
More than 4 in 10 people say they personally know someone who is trans, and 20% know someone who is non-binary. And it goes back to, I think, what my theory, and I'm not alone here, as far as the growing, or how quickly rights progressed for LGBT people in my lifetime compared to where we are with racism and different outcomes as far as different racial minorities, and how much that, like, just by association and knowing someone and that being part of your opening your eyes a little bit more and being more understanding, being more open-minded.
Sure.
Because think about when we were talking to Allison Hayden last week and she said, you know, only 2% of the population is Jewish. And how many people who probably live in this state, in this country, who don't know anyone who's Jewish. And so that blindness to other cultures or other gender identities or other races, it becomes a lot easier to fill in the blanks and fill in those blanks with stereotypes versus seeing people as real people because you know people.
Sure.
And so it's interesting to think if this is with more, like I said, with more young people feeling comfortable to identify how they actually feel versus feeling like they have to fit into a box, does that grow in people who, you know, identify as cis people who identify as the same as they were their assigned sex, just to have more tolerance and understanding just because they have more exposure to real people's experiences?
It will be interesting to see. I will be interested to see if this topic gets revisited by the Pew Research people next year.
Yeah.
And see where we are.
Moving along, we have 5 more. This is interesting. Most Americans say journalists should always strive to give every side equal coverage, but journalists themselves are more likely to say every side does not always deserve equal coverage.
That's absolutely true.
Which?
The journalists.
Yeah. And so that, I think in reality, where do you fall on that?
I side with the journalists.
You do.
And I am not a journalist by trade. I have mm-hmm. done some reporting over about 7 years and did some stories and stuff like that, but I still don't consider myself a journalist.
Yeah, me either.
But both sides are not always equal. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And
both sides are not always true.
Both sides are not always true. And some things are verifiably lies. Are verifiable lies. And I think there was too much of both sides, all sides, everybody does it during the previous administration that was not accurate.
Mm-hmm. And so this, it says, those who favor equal coverage argue that it's always necessary to allow the public to be equally informed about multiple sides of an argument, while those who disagree contend that people making false statements or unsupported conjectures do not warrant as much attention as those making factual statements, with solid supporting evidence.
I mean, are you going to interview Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an astrophysicist, and then interview Wally from...
I like that you chose the name Wally.
I dated a guy named Wallace once. It didn't last. And Wally from Green Bay, who says that the moon is made of cheese. I should give these people equal platforms.
No.
No.
I don't know. All right. Next one. Nearly half of U.S. teens now say they use the internet almost constantly. I think I use the internet almost constantly.
So do I. It's bad.
It's bad. I mean, between my face in front of a screen is basically all day, every day.
In some form or another.
I spend 3 hours in front of a screen for the show. I'm on my computer or my phone looking for stuff for the show.
Yep.
It does not surprise me that the kids are online.
I'm no kid and I'm online.
I know.
And I was talking to some relatives over the holidays just about how I don't read anymore. And I used to inhale books.
Oh, books. Yeah, I'm not a
book
great.
Books. I mean, and I would read 3 books a month.
Wow.
No problem. No problem. And since I do so much more screen time, I find I don't concentrate as long if I'm trying to read. I'm disappointed in myself.
I'm trying to read more. This is one of my, if we're going to call it a resolution, but reading a novel before bed instead of scrolling on my phone.
That's probably not a bad idea.
We'll see how long it lasts. All right, we'll squeeze in another one. Again, I think if you're paying attention, this doesn't feel like a striking finding, but the share of aggregate U.S. household income held by the middle class has fallen steadily since 1970.
Oh, what a shock.
Yeah. In 1970, adults in middle-income households accounted for 62% of aggregate income, and by 2020, it fell to 42%, and I don't see it changing. I don't see it necessarily changing anytime soon.
That seems to imply that trickle-down economics does not work.
The best thing I shared, I did not come up with this, was one of the best things I found this weekend. I think it was on Betches, which is an Instagram account that I follow. It says, don't make fun of older children who still believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
Ooh! Good one.
All right. How much time? We have a good break?
We got a minute.
All right, we'll take a break. All right, so there's two left. One is about, they're both kind of about partisanship and whether or not social media is good for democracy. We will finish that up when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In celebration of our first holiday season in Waukesha, WAUK Radio would like to say thank you for welcoming us into your homes, your schools, your businesses, and your vibrant neighborhoods. It was also our honor to broadcast the 59th annual Waukesha Christmas Parade, sharing the inspiration and magic of the season as our community continues to heal and shine.
Hey, Mayor Riley, yep, he's going to come by for a quick hello. Mayor, we brought the mic out just for you, Mayor.
Oh, this is great. This is beautiful.
We're really glad you're here. Chief Daniel Thompson, great to see you. Say hello.
You
Merry
well.
Christmas.
Thank you. God bless everybody.
All right, thanks so much.
Together, we are Waukesha Strong.
And thank you all, of course, for listening and being a part of this broadcast on behalf of Civic Media and my crew.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network and your local stations, the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 20. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Highs around 38. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Lows dip down to about 34. Tomorrow night, overcast skies. Temps a bit above average Thursday and Friday with highs from the upper 30s to the mid 40s. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are looking through Pew Research Center's most striking findings of 2022, or at least what they think is their most striking findings. And it's been interesting. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We got two more to finish out this hour, and then we'll take a break for the top of the news, top of the hour news, and J.R. Ratcliffe will be here to talk Packers. So if you are interested in the Packers, stay tuned through the top of the hour.
They're alive.
They're alive. Against all odds.
I know. It's incredible.
All right. So getting back to some of these findings, whether or not we find them striking, but either way, they are real. This one, again, is sad, but maybe not surprising. Growing shares of both Republicans and Democrats say that the members of the other party are more immoral, dishonest, and close-minded than other Americans.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, really?
So, the research was basically starting in 2016, which was a polarizing year up to 2022. And for Republicans that say Democrats are more close-minded, it went from 52 to 69, dishonest, 42 to 64, immoral, 35 to 63, unintelligent, 32 to 51. And this is the outlier for what Republicans think about Democrats, that we're lazy.
Ah.
48 to 62. But similarly, Democrats say Republicans are close-minded. It went up 13 points. Dishonest went up 22 points. Immoral went up almost 30 points. Unintelligent, 20 points, and lazy. So I guess Democrats don't think Republicans are lazy, because in 2016, they said it was 18%, and even by 2022, it's only 26%. So
I don't think laziness has a political affiliation. I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, that's fair. But so not good. Not good as far as being open-minded to trying to talk to people who don't necessarily agree with you. But,
well,
instead of just discarding them as bad people.
And what I think is really not good is that for some people, that is by design. They want us to view each other as the enemy. Yeah. They don't want us to trust each other. They don't want us to try and work together. They win when we fight each other.
Totally. Yes. I'm not saying this isn't something that we just woke up and decided to feel this way.
It was
part of our media landscape. It is part of what sells, what gets clicks, what gets people fired up. This is I think a byproduct of media rather than of people being told what to, largely like, what should I think, and finding the people that they trust and that they feel like instinctually they align with. And if those people are pointing the finger and calling names and stuff, it becomes a lot easier to continually believe that of the other side. Again, unless you actually have a diverse friend group, not only racially and ethnically, but also politically, which is hard to do.
It is hard to do, but it's also another reminder of why the words we choose are so very important.
Yeah.
And if there is a politician using particularly derogatory terms to define their opponent, then we all need to take a closer look at that politician who is choosing to use those words.
Agreed.
That's a big problem.
All right. Well, to round out these findings, this is really interesting because I think we spend a fair amount of time talking about social media, its impact, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But majorities of nations around the world see social media as a good thing for democracy.
Really?
But not in the United States.
Wow.
So in the United States, 64% of respondents said social media is a bad thing for democracy, and 34% said a good thing. And the only other, Netherlands and France were the only two countries, so majority, 50% or higher, that see it as a bad thing. Australia, France, Netherlands, and us. And everyone else thought it is a better thing for democracy. The United Kingdom, Canada, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Greece, Spain, South Korea, Sweden, Malaysia, Israel, Japan, Hungary, Singapore, and Poland. In Poland, 67% of respondents think it's a good thing. So I don't know what's different about their social media.
Do they have just fewer trolls per million? I'm not sure. I would be really curious to delve into that a little bit further.
So in addition to being the most negative about social media's influence on democracy, Americans are consistently among the most negative in their assessment of specific ways that social media has affected politics and society. For example, 79% in the U.S. believe access to the internet and social media has made more people divided in their political opinions, the highest percentage among all countries polled.
Well, it's certainly much easier to just swim in your own pool.
And I also wonder if it goes back to anything, and I have, this is maybe grasping for straws, but we, you know, I feel like I talk a fair amount about the problem with a two-party system and the fact that you only have two parties to choose from. And so it goes back to what we were saying with the previous finding, that it's very easy to, all you have to, a winning strategy can just be you hate the other guys so much that you feel forced to hold your nose and vote for this party,
right?
Instead of having a more diverse choice, like more diverse choices, because there's other countries have like proportional representation and more parties, and there's like more of a choice as far as what platform you want to get behind besides just us or them. And so I wonder if with that, the way social media works can be fostered or nurtured better in political countries where the political systems are not a duopoly. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I don't know. I just have to think that they're...
Or is there different political fund? You know, we also spend the most amount of money on campaigns in this country.
Ridiculous amounts of money.
And so it'd be interesting to dive deeper into how social media disseminates differently here to be the outlier.
Well, and don't forget, our election cycle is so much longer than anybody else's.
Yes.
That is so much longer. So we're drowning in this stuff.
It just never ends.
It doesn't. We never get a break.
Interesting. All right. Well, let us know. What of those, if you've been listening for the whole hour, what of those did you find the most surprising? What did you find the most obvious? 844-967-2789. We're going to bring more kind of end of the year roundups throughout the week. Tomorrow, at least tomorrow and Thursday, we are off Friday. But for now, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things Packers and that miracle. Don't call it a comeback, I guess. I don't know. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it on the dance floor.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.